Rashini Rajkumar back with you. We are winding it down today, folks. A little bit of a shortened show. I'll wrap it up just around 1:30 and hand it over to sports host Steve Thompson, who will have some Timberwolves items for you ahead of the game, which is at 2:30. But we'll be back normal time next Sunday, 12 to 3, and I'll preview some of the great things we have coming up for you then before I say goodbye today. But first, you know, you've been with us this month. We have been looking at wellness from a lot of different places. Ayurvedic eating and food and cooking in early November. Then we got into your attitude and the positivity, your attitude of positiveness as well as possibility on the possibility index with U.S. Bank. And then last week we talked about the brain with two neurologists and how it adapts to change. Well, my next guest helps us wind down our wellness series as we look at fitness, and he definitely has explored it in many ways, both personally and for his writing. He is a professor of English at Finley University, and he is also the author of his very first book, Running Out, which I have in my hands. He's an ultra-distance runner. He is Dave Essinger. Hi there, Dave.
Hi, Rashini. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. It is wonderful to chat with you. And I know that you have run distances that I could only dream of running. The 100-mile trail run is your main distance. Tell people how you even got into that.
Oh, wow. Well, it all started innocently enough, right?
Always does.
Sure. Just a little thing. I guess, I ran track and cross country in high school, like a lot of kids do, then took about 10 years off and didn't run a step. And there, before my wife and I got married, she decided that, you know, we wanted to, you know, get in shape, and she started running, and I kind of thought jealously, gee, I used to be able to run. So, we went out, did a couple 5Ks. I moved here to Findlay, Ohio, and fell in with the Findlay Striders, great running club. Everybody here was training for a marathon at the time, so we thought, we'll try that. Ran a Toledo Glass City, great, great race, flat and fast and all that. We ran it for our first marathon, over 10 years ago, and, it was miserable. It hurt. It was tough, and we decided that we wanted to do another right away.
That's how it works, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know how it is. You finish one thing, it hurts. You're right away thinking signing up for another. Yeah. But somewhere in there, we were training for. I was trying to train to Boston Qualify at the time. That was before.
And for those who don't know, when you're training to even run Boston, you have to run another marathon and hit a certain time based on your age group. And if you don't, then you can't register for Boston.
Yeah, exactly. And the qualifying times, those are tough too, right?
Very tough. I'm many marathons away from even trying.
Oh, I was just going to wait and let the age group come to me, I decided.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I'm talking with Dave Essinger. He is the author of the new book, Running Out. He's a sports writer, as well as a professor, associate professor of English at University of Findlay in Ohio. So I wanted to talk with you, Dave, just about sort of the mentality of running and helping people out there, whether they want to run or do something else, just look at fitness in our wellness series. So maybe running isn't for them, but what's your best advice for how people can find that thing that really gets them up and moving, either outdoors or indoors?
Right. Yeah. Great question. I think you have to like it. You have to enjoy what you're doing, and that's an important part. If you don't enjoy it, you won't stay with it. So what are the things that you can do to make it enjoyable? A lot of people like running with people. Run clubs are great for that.
Run clubs are really excellent. In fact, I got up this morning and ran with my run club, North Star Running. Just did a few miles, but it was wonderful. That's who kind of helps you keep that appointment to your health, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little bit of accountability with people, you know, expecting you to be there, and it makes the miles go an awful lot faster with people to talk to, right? But I think if running is not your thing, there are a lot of other things out there, and it should be something that you enjoy and something that you feel better after you've done it. Biking is great. I'm cross training a lot. You know, God help me, I'm trying to learn to swim better.
Yeah, not my favorite. So let's share a little bit about your novel with people. Running Out is your first book, your first novel. What made you want to do this?
Thanks. I've been writing fiction for years and years, and they say write what you know, right? So I thought I was reading a lot of writing about running. There's an awful lot of nonfiction about long-distance running. There's a little bit of fiction about running, but it occurred to me nobody's really writing long, long-distance running, like ultra-distance running, and doing that well in a fiction context. So I thought, hey, maybe that's a thing I could do. I wanted to get the sport right, but I also wanted to tell a story that's going to be compelling to anybody who's a runner or not.
Yeah, and your main character, Dan, he and his wife have been in a plane crash in the Canadian wilderness, and he's got to use his distance running skills to help get them out of this tragedy. What can you tell people without giving away your ending?
Oh, sure. Part of it is when the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem's a nail, right? But here he is, maybe as well trained as anybody else to run very long distances over broken ground, and that's exactly the problem set up before him. They survive a plane crash, no one's looking for them, and so what else does he have to do but lace up his trail shoes? The problem is, if you know the area, it's about 500 miles north of Toronto. It's incredibly isolated up there.
I can imagine. I just got back from the North Shore of Minnesota, Lake Superior. We didn't quite get up into the Boundary Waters, but we were north of Grand Marais. So I can imagine the visuals. If you were out there without food and proper clothing, life would soon leave, I would guess.
The farther north you go, the emptier it gets, too. So he's carrying on, and his background is as a physical therapy professional, and so he knows kind of biochemically everything that's going horribly wrong with his body as he keeps trying to keep moving out there. But I'm trying to drop in a lot of backstory, a lot of flashback kind of subplot in there too, so it's not just
some personal issues with the wife and family from both sides. Well, before we have to say goodbye, I'm talking with David Essinger. He is the author of Running Out. That is his first novel. He's associate professor of English at University of Findlay in Ohio, and he's also a sports writer. But one of the lines that struck me, Dave, in some of the materials I was looking at before talking with you is you say stubbornness is something you play with in the book, and it actually could be used to your advantage. What do you mean by that, and how can our listeners use that?
Oh, right. Well, you know, we think of stubbornness has positive and negative qualities, right? I think that, it can be difficult when it gets us into situations that we don't really want to be in, but when you're in a tough situation and you don't want to quit, I've gotten through a lot of races myself just, I think, basically by being, you know, too stubborn or too hard-headed to quit. We find situations in life a lot of the time where it is easy, or it would be easy, to give up or quit or drop out. As a writer, I think we have to be incredibly stubborn people too, right? I don't think that's the only place where we find difficulty or rejection in the world, in, you know, writing or running or anything. If we just get too stubborn to quit, sometimes, hey, sometimes things work out. Sometimes you finish that race. Sometimes
and you find kind of the outer reaches of what you maybe previously thought possible.
Yeah, I think it's easy to quit early when you want to, when things get a little bit difficult. Kind of tapping into that stubbornness can keep things moving, and sometimes things get easier after that.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining us today, spending some time with you. You can find his novel, Running Out, on Amazon. Good luck to you on those trails and your next 100-miler. Wow, it eludes me, but good luck to you.
Well, thanks, Rashini, and good luck in your running, and have a great rest of your show.
Thank you so much. We are going to take a break, and then when we come back, the phone lines are open, folks, 651-989-9226 or 81807. I'd love to hear from you. Are you going to participate in Cyber Monday? Billions of dollars are at stake. Folks, the phone lines are open. Rashini Rajkumar here, winding down the show. We're wrapping about 90 minutes early today. Steve Thompson, our sports host, who's usually on at 3 p.m., will join you just in about 8 or 9 minutes. And then he'll talk a little Timberwolves ahead of the Timberwolves game at 2:30. Phone lines are open, though. I want to hear from you. Are you shopping Cyber Monday? Are you one of those people, and the numbers are definitely growing, who are now saving a lot of your shopping for the Monday after Thanksgiving? And that's tomorrow. I want to hear from you. 81807, send me a text. This year, according to USA Today, Americans are expected to spend $6.6 billion online. Wow. That is versus Thanksgiving, when they spent $5 billion on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving versus tomorrow. So that has definitely increased over time. Did you know the first Cyber Monday was in 2005? Ellen Davis from the National Retail Federation came up with the term, among other colors. She liked other names and colors like Blue Monday after the color of web links, or Green Monday for the money being made. She liked the clarity of Cyber Monday. Yeah, the name really does say it all. The idea was to leverage something that was already happening, she says. Online sales were new at that time, but now they have obviously jumped. So tomorrow, the peak hours for Cyber Monday are between 8 and 11 p.m. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, maybe it's after all the family has left or things like that. And Adobe predicts that the U.S. online holiday sales will reach, this is overall online holiday sales for the holiday season, more than $107 billion. That's an increase of almost 14%. And Cyber Monday definitely leads the way. So that's pretty big. Another thing that has changed, folks, Cyber Monday has definitely grown, has surpassed Black Friday for your shopping habits. Well, cremation has surpassed burial for after death, for people's choice for themselves after death. We're going to get into that next Sunday on News and Views with Rashini Rajkumar. Bill McGreevy from Washburn McGreevy will join me in studio, and he'll talk about why that is happening and what are those numbers about, as well as what can you do now if that's a decision that your parents have made. Maybe you need to have that discussion with them so all goes well when it is actually time to deal with their end-of-life issues, or how do you notify and let your kids know what your wishes are. So we'll get into all of that. We'll also have a very special current events roundtable for the entire 2 o'clock hour next Sunday. And we'll have a couple of our friends of the show, local media personalities, will join me in studio along with our regular sports and entertainment law contributor, Steve Fulton. So they are Steve Silton. They will be all in studio together answering your big questions and giving some of their insight as to what's happening now, what might be happening in 2018. I want to wind down by letting you know a little story that I found about cannabis. Yeah, a cannabis-infused upscale supper club is opening up in Chicago on December 4th. It's already received more than 1,000 reservations. Yeah, so it's not what we think about in the normal world of cannabis. There are cannabis-infused meals, beverages, including cocktails. The event was started by Herbal Notes. That's a California-based company. And the owner of the restaurant that's putting it on is really excited. He thought he was going to get 20 people, and in 48 hours of opening up that reservation, he got 40 people. I don't know. I don't know if I would want a whole cannabis-infused meal. I don't know if I could handle that, but He wants it to spread, and so does Herbal Notes, the use of cannabis beyond how we think of it in recreational and medical worlds. Some other good news, the Eagles are coming to Minnesota. They'll be in Minneapolis on June 30th at Target Field. So you're going to see not only the Eagles, but Joe Walsh, Vince Gill, and Glenn Frey's son, Deacon Frey, will perform with the Eagles. So that, I'm sure, will be a fun concert. Kevin, is that a concert you would be into, the Eagles?
If the tickets weren't over $100, yes.
Yes. So you like the music, but not crazy about that price tag.
Yeah, and with Glenn Frey gone, I'm just not sure about the Eagles.
Not sure how it's going to go. All right. Well, you heard it here, though. If you want tickets, they go on sale Saturday, December 2nd. So just at the end of the week. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I would love to see them. And I haven't been to a concert at Target Field. Of course, I've been to some baseball games, but it would be very fun to see them there. Well, thank you for being with me, the shortened show today. News and Views Kumar will be back next Sunday, normal time, 12 to 3. We've got lots in store for you, including a preview of the logo for Final Four 2019 right here in Minneapolis. The CEO, Kate Mortensen of Final Four Minneapolis, will be in studio with me, and she'll preview how you might be able to get an early glimpse of the logo ahead of a great unveiling that's happening. Well, I'm wrapping it up. I hope you make it a really great week, and Steve Thompson is coming up next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thanks so much for joining us here. News Radio 830 WCCO, Steve Thompson in studio ahead of our Timberwolves pregame show today. Kevin Reed is our studio coordinator. Coming up momentarily, we're going to be joined by John Folkey and take a look ahead at our network pregame show at 2 o'clock. Alan Horton standing by with the play-by-play at 2:30 today as the Wolves try and get back at it today. They did not have a good Friday night at home against the Miami Heat, and they're going to try and turn a page and get the W today against a Phoenix Suns team that is 7-13. The Wolves are 11-8. By the way, a win today would give the Wolves their best 20-game start since the 05-06 season when they were also 12-8. The Wolves are 6-3 at home this season, and they're 7-0 when allowing less than 100 points. And, of course, that Friday night game at Target Center, when they got beat by Miami 109-97, they gave up 19 threes to the Heat in that game. And just about every player we heard from in our extended postgame, our Howland show, alluded to the fact that it was clearly not their best effort of the season. So we'll see what they bring today with the Suns. And once again, we'll get a preview with John Folkey coming up momentarily. Of course, Vikings are idle. They beat the Lions on Thursday. And we'll have a full rundown of the NFL scores momentarily here on CCO. Little college football real quick. The latest AP poll is out. Clemson is the new number one, followed by Oklahoma. After Alabama and Miami lose, Wisconsin, after shutting out Minnesota 31-0, moves up to number three. And Auburn is number four after, of course, knocking off Alabama on Saturday. So Clemson, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Auburn, Alabama at number five. Nick Saban already trying to make the case for why his team should still get a look, even though they're not playing in the SEC title game. That'll be Auburn and Georgia. Georgia sets at six. Miami is seven. Miami's still got a shot. If they're able to beat Clemson in the SEC title game, then Miami would almost certainly be in the playoff. Clemson would be on the outside looking in. You would have to assume the winner of the Auburn Georgia game would get into the playoff. And Wisconsin, they absolutely positively have to beat Ohio State to get in to the college football playoff. So that's what we know right now as far as the playoff picture in college football goes. Speaking of college football, a little bit closer to home, we do know now that St. Thomas will be on the road in the quarterfinals next Saturday. They'll play at Mary Hardin Baylor down in Texas. We'll be on the air at 11:50. And, of course, our kickoff at noon, Dave Lee, Eric Nelson, and Fritz Waldvogel from deep in the heart of Texas, St. Thomas and Mary Hardin Baylor. And how about Minnesota State? They'll get a home game. They knocked off Midwestern State on Saturday. And then Texas A&M Commerce won again on the road, this time beating the number one seed in Super Region 4, Central Washington. So the Mavs get a home game in Mankato next Saturday at noon against Texas A&M Commerce. How about that? Earlier today on the Sports Huddle, you heard about that wild finish at Barclays Center in Brooklyn where Minnesota beat Alabama the final 89-84, but the game ended with Minnesota playing Alabama 5-on-3 because the entire Alabama bench was kicked out of the game for coming on the floor after a skirmish. Then a player fouled out. Then a player got injured. Minnesota wins the 5-on-3. 85-84, Gopher men's hockey got beat. They got swept at Notre Dame over the weekend. Meanwhile, the Blues beat the Wild 6-3 in St. Louis last night. And we'll have a quick rundown of all the NFL scores here on News Radio 830-WCCO. Well, let's get you up to date on the latest today around the league. At the half, Buffalo leading at Kansas City 13-3. What's happened to the Chiefs? Carolina leading the New York Jets in the Meadowlands 12-10 at the half. Also at the break, Philly all over Chicago 24-0. The Eagles just have one loss. They're atop the NFC. New England leading Miami 21-0 at the half. In the third now, Cincinnati leading Cleveland 16-6 along the Ohio River. Atlanta leading Tampa Bay early in the third, 20-6. Chorus of Ikes will be in Atlanta next Sunday. Indy leading Tennessee 13-6 early in the third. Later, Seattle at San Francisco. Denver visiting Oakland. Jacksonville's in Arizona. And New Orleans will be in L.A. to play the Rams tonight. Green Bay at Pittsburgh. That could be ugly for the Pack at Heinz Field. And the Monday night game features Houston at Baltimore. All right, you're up to date on the sports headlines here on this Sunday. We're ahead of the Wolves and the Suns. I love those Sunday matinees. John Folkey joins us on the line. He'll have your pregame show beginning at 2 o'clock today, John. And I love these Sunday matinees. It's too bad the Wolves don't get a few more during the course of the season.
Yeah, it's certainly very different, Steve. You know, normally Sunday games at home start at 6 o'clock, yeah. But Wolves kind of catching a break with the Vikings off this weekend. Of course, they played on Thursday, so great time to have one of these afternoon matinee games. We'll tip things off at 2:30, and it's an adjustment for sure when you're normally, you know, not just the players, but really everybody. I mean, broadcasters, you're programmed to kind of breaking your day down a certain way. And so the 2:30 start time is a change and somewhat of a challenge, but you know, it's great for fans to get everybody out here to have some fun. And we're looking at another great crowd coming off already our third sellout of the season on Friday.
Yeah. And, there's one looming, but it's a ways down the road. Golden State will be in town in March for a matinee at Target Center. Same deal. All right, John, let's get into, first of all, Friday night's game against Miami. It wasn't pretty. Heat made 19 threes in the game. It wasn't the Wolves' finest day.
No, and you know, the interesting thing, Steve, is that Minnesota had been doing a very good job of defending the three-point line, really through the first 18 games of the season. But then, you know, whatever it was, that driving kick game of Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters, you know, breaking down the perimeter defense. Minnesota obviously shorthanded without Jeff Teague and without Nemanja Bjelica, and they got themselves into a good rhythm. Miami did early on, and they just kept it rolling from there. I mean, it seemed like, you know, you were trying to stop the pick and roll here. Well, then Wayne Ellington was hitting a three there, or even when they were missing, Hassan Whiteside was tipping rebounds back out, and guys were getting those second chance dagger threes. So they came from all over. They came from the corners. They came from above the break. They came in transition. They came off pick and roll, driving kick, second chance. You know, it was just Minnesota couldn't find a way to stop the bleeding from beyond the arc in that ball game. But again, on the whole this season, and especially as of late, they've been doing a much better job of closing down that three-point line.
All right, you brought up the injuries on Friday. Belly not available. Jeff Teague not available. Do we know anything as we close in on tip-off, a little under an hour away?
Well, it sounds like both Teague and Belly will be out again here tonight. In fact, Belly will be on the inactive list. And Apparently, Jeff Teague said he won't play. I know Coach Tibbs, when we last spoke to him maybe about 15, 20 minutes ago, was waiting to talk with Greg Farnham, the head athletic trainer, to get his thoughts on it. But Teague apparently told Jerry Zagota of the Star Trib that he would not be playing here tonight. So looks like Minnesota will go with their backup point guard option. And it'll be interesting, Steve, to see who starts. Aaron Brooks got the start on Friday, but Tyus Jones came out and played a career-high 33 minutes in that ball game. And, you know, the offense was much more effective with Tyus out there, mainly because he's been on the floor a whole lot more this season than Brooks had. Brooks hadn't played a ton in that third-string point guard role. So it'll be interesting to see if Tibbs starts with Tyus like he did in the second half of Friday's game, or whether Brooks gets the start and then gives way to Tyus, who plays the bulk of the minute. So we have not gotten word yet on what the starting lineup looks like.
All right. Has there been any moves from the G League to fortify the Wolves here? Is not only to play the Suns, but they have one more game at home against the Wizards coming up this week.
Well, Anthony Brown is with the club. He's on a two-way contract for Minnesota, and he's been with the club, though, all week, and it just kind of worked out that there's a break in the schedule, in the G League schedule, where Minnesota played last Sunday, and they won't play again until tomorrow because a number of G League guys are taking part in the World Championship qualifiers. And since it coincides with the NBA season, NBA players are not allowed to play for Team USA in those qualifying games. So they're using G League guys, and a couple members of the Iowa Wolves are playing for Team USA in those qualifiers. So Anthony Brown is with the team. He'll be active for the second straight game, but it's kind of by happenstance that he's up here. It's not like they called him up for reinforcements.
All right, the Suns start a long road trip today, the longest of the year, six games for them. And so far this year, it's been a struggle for Phoenix. This is an opportunity for the Wolves to bounce back and get a big win in front of what should be a big crowd today at Target Center.
Yeah, and hopefully they can take advantage. You know, last time they met Phoenix was just a couple of weeks back in mid-November, and they caught the Suns on the second end of a back-to-back out in the desert, and they couldn't take advantage. Devin Booker and T.J. Warren both went off for 35 points apiece. Suns put together a 14-0 run in the fourth quarter and really ran away with that one. It was Minnesota's second straight loss coming on the heels of that setback against Golden State. Now today, they'll get a Suns team that has lost two straight, coming off probably one of their worst defeats of the season as they fell big time Friday to New Orleans. And they'll be without Devin Booker, their starting guard, and probably biggest stud on the roster right now in terms of offensive ability. He'll miss tonight's game with a toe injury. He was listed as questionable yesterday, and we just got word from Phoenix that he will not play this afternoon. So Minnesota catching a little bit of a break, but again, they're shorthanded as well, so they've got to come out and take advantage of not having Devin Booker in the lineup for Phoenix.
All right, one of the storylines that's been talked about a fair amount is Karl-Anthony Towns against teams' big guys and struggles at time for Cat defensively in particular. Tyson Chandler is another big man, and we'll see how Cat responds today.
Yeah, and it's not just on Cat. You know, it's really it's all about team defense, and that goes for guarding the three-point line. That goes for, you know, guarding guys inside. And you know, where Cat, I think, has struggled is when you see teams that run a stretch four out there and they spread you out so much that as Cat's trying to keep Hassan Whiteside or Dwight Howard, Andre Drummond off the glass, you know, Taj Gibson has to be out on the perimeter guarding that stretch four out there. And so as Cat's trying to help, you know, in a screen and roll situation, everybody's got to rotate. Everybody's got to be on a string and know that as one player moves, you've got to move down to help them. And so it's, you know, you can look at some of those numbers from big guys that have been put up against Minnesota and point to Cat, but it's not just about Carl. It's about everybody being on the same page defensively and making sure that you're helping and rotating back, closing out strong and not allowing those guys to put up big numbers.
All right, John, you take over at 2 o'clock with our pregame show. Alan Horton takes over with the play-by-play shortly after 2:30 today. The Wolves and Suns, a matinee at Target Center. And once again, a big crowd expected, so folks are getting downtown, getting the building early. We've seen some late-arriving crowds, so we invite folks, if they're on their way in, to get parked and get in their seat soon.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to make it as smooth as possible for everybody. So if you are headed to the game, get down as early as you can. And it's fun. I mean, there's so much to explore here at the newly renovated Target Center. I know, Steve, you've been down to a couple games. So if you are headed down to the game, get in early, wander around, check out some of the new amenities, the new concession stands, the new pro shop on the concourse level. It's huge. Inside the arena. So a lot of fun stuff to do as you wander around and take things in, getting ready for tip-off.
All right, John, what have you got coming up on our pregame show?
Well, Alan will catch up with Coach Tibbs, kind of preview this matchup and what Minnesota can do differently than they did in that mid-November meeting against the Suns to hopefully come out on top here tonight. We kind of talked about Anthony Brown being up with the club. I had a chance to chat with him. He's really been putting up big numbers for the Iowa Wolves over his last four games, averaging 30 points per contest. So we'll talk to him about what's been working for him, as well as kind of the relationship that Minnesota has with Iowa and how it's different from in years past when the Wolves didn't have a single affiliate like they do now. And we'll get our keys to the game. How can Minnesota turn things around, coming off that loss against Miami and put together a solid top-to-bottom performance and beat Phoenix here?
All right, very good, John. Always great. Look forward to you taking over at 2 o'clock today.
Sounds good. Take care, Steve.
All right, there he is, John Folkey, our pregame host on the Timberwolves Radio Network. Alan Horton standing by, and here's the week ahead for the Timberwolves, and it is busy. They get the Wizards in here on Tuesday night, our pregame 6:30, tip 7 o'clock. They'll be on the road at New Orleans. Once again, pregame 6:30, tip 7 o'clock. And then at Oklahoma City, their third tilt with the Thunder already this season, and that comes Friday night from OKC. Same deal, we'll be on the air at 6:30, tip 7 o'clock here on the radio, home of the Wolves. News Radio, 830 WCCO. Certified Cadillacs now up to 40% off MSRP. Shop McCarthyAuto.com. That's McCarthyAuto.com. 7 minutes now in front of 2 o'clock. We have the Wolves and Suns coming up from Target Center here on CCO. Let's get you up to date one more time on the scores around the NFL. Vikes got the win on Thanksgiving to move to 9-2 over the Lions. They'll be in Atlanta 1 week from today. Atlanta taking care of business at home, beating Tampa Bay 27-6. They're starting to play a whole lot better. 8 minutes to go in the third. Early in the third, Philadelphia all over the Chicago Bears in Philly, 24-0. Carson Wentz, 3 touchdown passes in the game today. Early in the third, in New England, Pats lead the Dolphins 21-10. They're set to go to 9-2. Meanwhile, Carolina leading the New York Jets 12-10. The Vikes will be in Charlotte to play the Panthers in 2 weeks. Cincinnati all over Cleveland at Paul Brown Stadium, 23-6. That is now late third quarter. Late in the third as well, Indy leading Tennessee 16-6. How about that? The Titans in the playoff picture, but losing on the road to the Colts, who are 3-7 and bidding to go 4-7. Buffalo leading at Kansas City 13-10. The Chiefs were so good early in the season, and now they're falling apart. They can't move the ball at all. The Bills bidding to go 6-5 and keep their playoff hopes alive. Once again, in the third, they lead at Kansas City 13-10. Seattle at San Francisco. Seahawks on the road, favored by 6.5. They're 6-4. Niners 1-9. Denver at Oakland today. Couple of also-rans. Broncos 3-7. The Raiders technically alive at 4-6, but they almost need to run the table to get in to the tournament. Jacksonville at Arizona. Cardinals still alive. Jags playing well at 7-3. They're favored by 6 on the road in Glendale, Arizona. How about New Orleans? One of the big surprises in the NFL this year. Leading the L.A. Rams, or I should say playing the L.A. Rams at 325 today at the Coliseum. Saints 8-2, Rams 7-3. The Rams favored by 2.5 at home. This is going to be tough tonight. Green Bay and Brett Hundley at Heinz Field to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers 8-2, Pack 5-5. The odds makers feel the same way. This is a big number in an NFL game. Steelers favored by 13.5 at home. Ouch. The Monday night game features Houston at Baltimore. Texans 4-6. And the Ravens are 5-5. And the Ravens favored by 7.5 at home. So you're up to date on the NFL scores here at CCO. Let's get you up to date on the weather one more time before we say goodbye and turn it over to John Folkey and Alan Horton for the Timberwolves and Suns from Target Center. And I'll be in following the game as well ahead of 60 Minutes at 6 with the very latest sports headlines. And we'll talk Timberwolves Lynx Academy holiday camps as well following the Wolves today here on CCO. For the remainder of the day, sunny skies tonight, a low of 33. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 57. Tuesday, a little cooler, but still sunny, 46. 48 on Wednesday, 40 on Thursday. Continued dry and sunny, 44 on Friday, 43 on Saturday as we head from November to December. Just unusual weather in these parts. 50 degrees, partly cloudy, west winds at 8 miles an hour, our humidity 48, and our dew point 30 today. It'll be interesting to see how the Timberwolves go in the game today at Target Center. As we heard a moment ago with John Folkey, Jeff Teague will sit out today. Nemanja Bjelica also unavailable today. We could see Tyus Jones in the starting lineup with Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, Taj Gibson, and Andrew Wiggins against the Suns, who hit the road. They've dropped two in a row, and they begin a six-game road trip today at Target Center. The 11-8 Timberwolves and the 7-13 Suns coming up here on the radio, home of the Timberwolves, News Radio 830 WCCO. I'm Steve Thompson. Kevin Reed, our studio coordinator, will talk to you after the ballgame right here, News Radio 830 WCCO.